From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message called Thy Will Be Done, Submission to the Will of Our Heavenly Father, part of this series of studies in the Lord's Prayer. Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by C.H. Spurgeon. Today's devotional thought is entitled, Open Door of Communion. The text is found in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. Saints who remain faithful to the truth of God have an open door before them. My soul, thou hast resolved to live and die by that which the Lord has revealed in His Word, and therefore before thee stands this open door. I will enter in by the open door of communion with God. Who shall say me nay? Jesus has removed my sin and given me His righteousness, therefore I may freely enter. Lord, I do so by thy grace. I have also before me an open door into the mysteries of the Word. I may enter into the deep things of God. Election, union with Christ, the second advent, all these are before me, and I may enjoy them. No promise and no doctrine are now locked up against me. An open door of access is before me in private, and an open door of usefulness in public. God will hear me. God will use me. A door is opened for my onward march to the church above, and for my daily fellowship with the saints below. Some may try to shut me up or shut me out, but all in vain. Soon shall I see an open door into heaven. The pearl gate will be my way into the presence of God. Then I shall go in unto my Lord and King and be with God eternally shut in.
Sorrow, free from my doubt. floods and fears, only a few more trials, only a few more tears. Oh,
safe in the arms of Jesus, safe on his gentle breast, there by his love or shame.
Jesus, my heart's dear refuge, Jesus has died for me. Firm on the rock of ages, ever my trust shall be. Here let me wait with patience.
How often have you passed a church that displayed a sign which read, Revival, during a given set of dates? Yet, how many Christians in this age of megachurches and seeker-sensitive religion have the faintest idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense? Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God, during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards, were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of what happened during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis, including Duncan Campbell's own account of that, as well as personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. To obtain your own copies of what happened at that time, just request the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
Amen.
In the third petition of the Lord's Prayer, Christ instructed his disciples to pray, "Thy will be done." As we've seen, the only proper way to pray this petition is in trusting submission to God and his ways. As we focus on the perfections of our Father in heaven, we'll experience real peace in the soul and know the power to live and serve. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude this message, "Thy will be done," submission to the will of our Heavenly Father.
Now, when we focus our attention on the perfections of our Father, we will be able to pray, "Thy will be done." The second thing that this attitude behind this prayer will do is to create real peace in our own soul. When we see the perfections of our God and we say then, "Thy will be done," that will bring a peace to the heart despite all circumstances. It brings a great peace to the soul. Let me give you an example, two extremes. When I was minister in our church in Ballymoney, I had a call one day. When I say a call, I'm using that in the British sense. Somebody came and knocked my door. A person I didn't really know, except that she lived nearby. And for some reason or other, she'd never been to talk to me. She'd never been in our church. But for some reason or other, she wanted to talk to me that day. She was in deep distress. Deep agony. And awful depression. Was a blackness cast across her life. And I began to wonder, what can have happened here? As I talked to her, it turned out that this young woman, just barely over 30 years of age, with a beautiful home, we would say well off, though at that point in time with a slight cash crunch crisis. Did I get that right? That's an American one I learned since I came here. But a slight lack of money flowing through the purse at that particular time. But beautiful home, well off, lovely family, devoted husband who had a great job, future was rosy. What had her so much in agony? Well, they had just moved into this lovely new home. They'd spent all their money getting everything just right. The furnishings, the carpets, everything was just right. And they just brought in this massive big freezer. And she was so depressed because that month she didn't have the money to fill it. And she was honestly depressed. I'm not making light of her depression. It was real. She was as depressed as if her husband were unfaithful instead of faithful. She was as depressed as if she had lost her house and still instead of just having moved into it. She was depressed as if she were sitting in orange boxes instead of top-rate furniture. She had lost perspective. She was in such depression. No peace. Way out in the countryside, what we called the County Derry, I would set out in my car, go across the River Bann and away out into a little country road. Not more than 1.5 times the breadth of that centre aisle. And I would go up there to a little house that sat on the edge of a field where there lived an old woman alone. When you went to that door, you rattled it good and hard to make sure the rats would hear you coming and get out of your way before you went in. She was as poor as a person could be. She was almost deaf and almost totally blind. When you went there, you never heard a mourning, a moping, a moaning, a complaining. It was a time when I could go in and sit beside her, draw up my chair beside hers on an old, cracked, dirty stone floor. We could open the Bible and I could read the scripture she could no longer read herself, and we could talk about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. What's the difference? The difference was in a relationship with God as Father. One had no joy of that, and the other, despite every circumstance, had a peace in knowing her Father ruled it all. As the psalmist said in Psalm 18, verse 30, "As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust in Him. For who is God save the Lord, or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect." His way is perfect. I don't understand all that's happening now, but He's making my way perfect. As was said of the Lord Jesus in Mark 7:37, "He hath done all things well." And when you recognize that and stay your mind upon the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, your God and your Father, in all His perfections, you can then enter into the promise of Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee." Thy will be done. It concentrates our attention on the perfections of our Father. It creates a real peace in our own soul. And finally, may I say, it imparts great power to live and serve the Savior. When we can honestly say in faith what Eli said in defeat, we will be liberated to serve our God, no matter what our circumstances. Eli said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." Now, as Eli said it, that was not really the language of trust. It was the language of just absolute exhaustion. He had made a mess of raising his family. He had made gods out of his unworthy sons and damned their souls in the process. Let it be a lesson to every parent. And now at the end of the day, hearing of their doom, he says, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." But if we can lift that up to the level of loving, trusting submission to our God, my, that realization will set us free from the bondage and the tyranny of circumstances, and it will liberate us to serve our God with joy. One of the most harrowing and yet one of the most heartening stories from Scottish covenanting history concerns the family of Richard Cameron, the Lion of the Scottish Covenant. When Richard Cameron was slain at Ayr's Moss, his enemies were not content to kill him, but they cut off the head from the corpse. And then, because Cameron's hands were always noted as peculiarly beautiful hands, they cut off the hands as well to hang them up on public show in Edinburgh. They took the head to the nether bowl and they stuck it on a pike for all to see. But they brought the hands to the prison house and they presented them to Alan Cameron, Richard's father, who was in prison for helping the covenanting preachers. Mockingly they said to the older man, they said to Cameron, "Do you recognize these hands?" And his reply forms one of the brightest pages in Scottish covenanting history. He cried, "I know them. I know them. They are my sons, my dear sons." And then he added, "It is the Lord. Good is the will of the Lord, who cannot wrong me or mine, but has made goodness and mercy to follow us all our days." And far from being defeated, far from being cowed into submission to tyranny, Cameron's spirit was set free the more fully to serve his Savior, and the more to look in the eye his tormentors and say, "I will never bow, I will never bend, I will never break." You cannot put bitterness against my God in my heart. Thy will be done. That, my friend, is the spirit of this text. That's a spirit that will not pine, it will not sulk, nor will it give place to reverses or give way under the stress of daily life. It is one that freely will go on to serve God. I don't know why God is allowing this. I can't really read the book of God's decree or God's providence at this time. But I will say, he cannot wrong me or mine. Thy will be done. My friends, it is inevitable that troubles will come. You and I will be perplexed. The question why will often be left hanging in the air. How will we respond? I've said there are four tones of voice in which you can say, "Thy will be done." How will you repeat that text? Will it be with trusting, loving submission? Let us pray earnestly. Let us pray honestly for that submission to the all-wise and all-loving purpose of the eternal God who is our Father, who will never wrong us as he brings us on our way to heaven.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.